I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine grower. He removes every branch in me that bears no fruit. Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes to make it bear more fruit. You have already been cleansed by the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me, as I abide in you. Just as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit, because apart from me you can do nothing. Whoever does not abide in me is thrown away like a branch and withers. Such branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask for whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and become my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. I have said these things to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. No one has greater love than this, than to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. I do not call you servants any longer, because the servant does not know what the master is doing, but I have called you friends because I have made known to you everything that I have heard from my Father. You did not choose me, but I chose you. I appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, so that the Father will give you whatever you ask him in my name. I am giving you these commands so that you may love one another. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Well, let us pray. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. For you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So there was this BuzzFeed survey that came across my Facebook page. Isn't that a great start to the sermon, by the way? So the title of the survey was, "What kind of unique flower are you?" And the subtitle was, "Find out what really makes you bloom." Well, I saw that, and this sounded pretty good to me. Yes, I want to know what kind of unique flower I am and what makes me bloom. So I clicked on it, and I took the survey, about 10 questions, and it turns out I am a dandelion. Yes, apparently I am an annoying weed. I mean, really, a dandelion. I mean, that's the kind of unique flower I am. So here is the survey's explanation of the significance of the dandelion. It says, "You're a curious, adventurous soul. You love to learn and travel, always following whatever way the wind blows and not staying in one place too long. People appreciate you for your intellect and worldliness." Yes, this oaky is so worldly. Yes. So I confess to you that I tried to go back and change a few answers so that I could get a different flower, but it wouldn't let me do that. So I read the comments, and it turns out I wasn't the only one who questioned the results of this highly scientific survey. As I read their reflections, I learned what some of the other options were, such as bird of paradise. Isn't that beautiful? "This flower is for those who are the life of the party and stand out in the crowd." Another is the water lily, for those who are laid back and relaxed, happy to float through life. Another is the hocus pocus rose. I'd never heard of that one before. It's beautiful. For those who are well-liked and have a familiar face but have a bit of mystery to them. And finally, the cabbage. Yes, cabbage. I love the explanation for the cabbage. The survey says this about cabbage people. "You are not the most majestic flower, but you sure do have good taste. You're versatile, always bringing your own unique flavor to any situation." How about that for the cabbage? What kind of unique flower are you? Okay, so take a minute now, turn to somebody next to you, and talk about what kind of unique flower you are. Might be one on this list, might be another one. Spend a minute and talk about what kind of flower describes you. So give me a few flowers. Let's hear from you. A few people. Tell me, what kind of flower are you? What kind of flower are you? Yeah, what kind of flower? A dandelion. All right, I got a dandelion friend over there. Yeah. A thistle? Oh, my. Well, I don't know about that. A thistle, that's good. Others, yes.
Dandelion.
A dandelion, all right. What's that? Bird of paradise, yes, good. Well, so here's the point of all of this. We all want to be our own unique flower, right? That's just what we want. All these flowers that we're mentioning, they're all beautiful in their own way. They each stand out, they bloom, and people stop and look at them, notice them. But Jesus doesn't say that we are any of these flowers. He doesn't pick any of these flowers for us. He doesn't invite us to take a survey, doesn't say, well, you can be whatever flower you want to be, and I'll be your soil, and I'll help you grow. And people will notice you, and you'll be so independent and unique and beautiful and bloom and bloom and bloom. No, he says, I am the vine, you are the branches. Now, when I was growing up and I heard this, I thought of this image. I thought that this is what Jesus meant. Let's see if we can put that on the screen now. I thought that was what Jesus meant. I am the vine. It's neatly woven into this tree, right? And so in this scenario, I mean, I would like this. I'd be one of the big, strong branches that stood out, that people would climb on. And I would bud and bloom and be filled with leaves. But then I went to the Holy Land in seminary. And our tour guide pulled the bus over to a vineyard, rows and rows of grapes, a whole field of them. And we got out and we looked at it. And here is what we saw. Here's the grapevine. So we stood there looking at these grapevines, and then our tour guide pulled out his Bible, and he said, I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit, because apart from me, you can do nothing. Of all the kinds of flowers and trees he could have picked, Jesus chose grapevines. And well, I think I'm finally starting to get it now. Do you see the vine and branches? How they're woven together, all tangled up together. You cannot tell one from the other. Here is what I am coming to understand. This profound truth that Jesus comes to teach us. We are all dependent on one another. Dependent on God. All connected to one another and to God. Yes, in this independent, isolationist, insider world, it turns out in order to reach our fullest potential, we have to rely, to depend, to belong, to include, to participate in order to thrive. This is the turning point in the spiritual journey. It's knowing that your life is not about you, that you are not just on your own, living your own life by yourself, that it's not about me, 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 but we, that you are part of something bigger. Call it divine flow or energy. But there is this sacred movement that is moving in and through you. And without it, you can't grow. You can't blossom. You can't bear fruit. You just wither. You try to do it all by yourself and you wither. You are not the gardener. You depend on the gardener. And glory be, we have the best gardener there ever was. Saying yes to let this gardener tend to you is the best thing you will ever do, because we all need tending. So to surrender, to accept that you are a branch connected with the vine and other branches, to know that you are being tended to by the great gardener, well, what do you have to be anxious about? What do you have to worry about, really? You will be cared for. You will be guided. You will never be alone. Jesus tells us how the great gardener cares for the grapevine to ensure that it produces fruit that will last. And what he says is right in line with the farmer's almanac on how to grow a successful grapevine. Yes, I looked it up. And there are two key aspects to growing vigorous vines that will last. And grapevines, well, if you care for grapevines properly, they can last years and years. They can produce good fruit for 30, 40 years. The first important step to growing a fruitful grapevine is this. Let's put it on the screen now. Grapevines will need to be trained to some sort of support to grow upward. This will also cut the risk of disease. Here is a grapevine that has not been trained. It's quite different, isn't it? So it has grown wild, and you can see it doesn't have much, if any, fruit on it, and it has grown down. This is what happens when we think we can do it all ourselves, when we don't think that we need anyone or anything, when we are left to our own devices, we will fall. So God comes in Jesus as our support, the vine that shows us the way to grow upward. Abide in me, he says, as I abide in you. This is more than an invitation. It's a promise. Do you hear that? He doesn't say, if. If you abide in me, I will abide in you. This isn't conditional. This isn't something we earn or achieve. No, Jesus is already abiding in us. We just have to say yes to it, to surrender to it. And when we do, well, that's when we start living in Christ. That's when we start to grow upward and start living in this world as we were made to live. There is this flow of love. And when we accept that it's flowing in us, well, it can flow through us to others. We become one with God and one with each other. There is no separation. We are branches that are so woven together, so dependent on each other. So when we hear love your neighbor as yourself, we see that our neighbor is not just some charity case. No, but our neighbor is a part of us. So our neighbor is not someone that we just extend a helping hand to, but is a part of what we're participating in, this divine flow called life. This story made the social media rounds this week. Marlene Brooks came home to a note from one of her neighbors. There was a 90-year-old woman living just down the street from her and wrote to her saying she was lonely. She asked if the two could be friends. Here's the note on the screen, and I'll read it for us. "Would you consider to become my friend? I'm 90 years old, live alone. All my friends have passed away. I'm so lonesome and scared. Please, I pray for someone." Marlene posted the note on Twitter along with this caption: "Came home to this note from a lady that lives down the street from me. Makes my heart sad, but on the bright side, it looks like I will be getting a new friend." She did exactly that. She and her sister went over to her elderly neighbor's house in the evening to introduce themselves with cupcakes in hand, and they met Wanda, and here's a picture of the three of them. She wrote this later about their first visit: "Wanda told me, 'I hope you didn't think I was stupid for writing you, but I had to do something. Thank you so much for coming over. I've lived here for 50 years and don't know any of my neighbors.' I also made sure that Wanda knew she can call us at any time and that I'll be back to spend time with her, ! I'm sure Wanda and I will have some great times." There are so many people like Wanda who either don't know or have forgotten that they matter, that they are connected, that they belong. Pope Francis put it this way in a TED Talk that was just released last month. He said, "Quite a few years of life have strengthened my conviction that each and everyone's existence is deeply tied to that of others. Life is not about merely passing by. Life is about interactions. We are deeply tied to one another. We cannot forget that. Going back to the image of the grapevine, if some of the branches start to fall and to wither or to grow apart from the vine, the whole plant will suffer because it's all connected. We are all connected. So your suffering is my suffering. Your loneliness is my loneliness. That's what compassion is. It's feeling another person's pain in your very being and doing something about it. It's so easy to get caught up in competition and thinking that there is this limited amount of resources in the world and that if we raise this group up, well, then my growth will be stunted. No, that's not how it works. The Christ in us makes it possible for us to help one another to grow upward and to blossom. Those who only see from a me position instead of a we position are branches that need to be pruned. The second important step to growing a fruitful vine is from the Farmer's Almanac. The more you prune, the more grapes you will have. Pruning helps to strengthen the root system so that it can support the extra weight of fruit. There is this wandering that happens. A branch will shoot out apart from the grapevine. And isn't this true of life too? That at one point or another, we are going to wander. We will separate. And most of the time, it's our ego that drives us to focus on me and my needs, and we end up distant from the source of life. And your life cannot bear much fruit if you are apart from that. So pruning is needed. And to prune a branch is to go ahead and cut it off and regraft it back to the vine so that it is reconnected again, so that it can bear much fruit, fruit that will last. Pruning and regrafting looks like this. Several years ago now, I helped to facilitate a weekly Bible study for people in recovery, women in recovery from addiction. They lived in a halfway house together as a way to transition back from rehab into the real world. So they had been pruned. And they had finally come to this place of realization that, in the words of the first steps of AA, their lives had become unmanageable. And that there was a higher power that could restore them to sanity. Sanity comes when you are regrafted to the vine. One night I showed up and I had this outline of what I thought I would do for the Bible study. And you know me, I brought handouts for everybody. And so I got there and there were five women around the living room. And as we sat there and we shared tea and lemonade and were making conversation, I was talking with the woman next to me. And she was telling me about how she was going to get to see her kids that weekend. Now, this was someone who used to live in Highland Park. Now, her time with her kids had to be supervised. Pruning can be painful. But these supervised visits were part of what would be a long process of regrafting her to the vine, restoring her family and her to health. Now, she didn't say this, but I could feel underneath her sharing this deep sense of shame. And so I felt that the Spirit was leading me in that place, and so I didn't pass out the handouts. And I wasn't sure what I was going to do, so I told them this story about how one day Jesus was teaching, and it was the Sabbath day, and a woman was there who had been bound by a spirit for something like 18 years. She'd been bound by the spirit. And the weight of it was so heavy on her that she was literally bent over. She could not straighten up at all. You see, she was like a branch that had been disconnected from the vine. And over time, she had fallen. She had sunken lower and lower. 18 years, the spirit had burdened her until Jesus came and set her free from it. He put his hands on her. And he healed her in an instant. And she straightened up right there. And she started to praise God. You see, Jesus reconnected her to the vine, to the source of life. But because it was the Sabbath, the religious leaders were indignant with Jesus for healing on the Sabbath. And Jesus says to them, he says, this woman, she is a daughter of Abraham. What he is saying is, she's part of this. She's part of us. And he says this to them, she has been bound for 18 long years, and today she is set free from what binds her. And then I just felt led to do this. I put my hand on the woman's shoulder next to me, and I said, this is a daughter of Abraham, and today she has been set free from what binds her. And then we all stood up, and we just started walking around the room and saying to one another, this is a daughter of Abraham, and today she has been set free from what binds her. This is a daughter of Abraham, and today she has been free from what binds her. You are part of the one. You are part of the one. You are connected. You belong. Today you are set free from what binds you so that you can reconnect to the source again, so that the flow of life and love will flow through you, so that your life will bear fruit for the world. So I want to end with this email that came in my inbox this week. I receive daily devotions from the recovery community, and they look at a theme throughout Scripture. So this theme came to me this week. It's called Budding Promise. How about that? So here are five for budding promise. Number one, God's love shapes my life. Number two, God's promise is provision in times of lack. Number three, God will complete the good work in me. Number four, God guards my life. Number five, God will change my perspective. Because Jesus is our vine and God is our gardener, well, no matter what, we have a budding promise. So may it ever be. Amen. I'd like to invite our ushers and acolytes to come forward now to receive our offering. We are so grateful for all that God has given us, and so we give back a portion of what we have been given for God's work through the church to reconnect people to the vine.